very nice for me to be here. Thanks, Mark and the team. I love the way you worship. Carl made such a big introduction in the previous service. I said, please, you shouldn't do it again. My name is Andries. I come from Hermanus. We have grass there and big fish called whales. Other than that, the church is the same. It's lovely to be here. It's family. You have a great church. It's a privilege for me to share with you that what the Lord has laid in my heart. As I was preparing last night, the Lord laid a specific word in my heart for us, and I believe for many of us here this morning. And I want us to start by just reading at this powerful invitation that God is making to each and every one of us here today. It's found in Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want us just to stop there for a moment and give an opportunity to reflect on these words and just listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. So I want us just to close our eyes and just, as we close our eyes, I'm just going to read this invitation again and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you where you are at. So let's just close our eyes. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And while we have our eyes closed, there is so many things in this life that can wear us down, that can cause worry and stress, fear, whether it's relationships, conflict, or strife, or uncertainty. My question this morning to you is, what are the things that wear you down? What are the burdens that you are carrying? Jesus makes this invitation this morning. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. And this is how we find this rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You can open your eyes. If you are here this morning and you are weary and burdened, I really believe God is speaking to you this morning. And He's making this invitation. An invitation to come to Him to find rest. And the way to find it is so interesting. I call it the great exchange. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I call it the great exchange because I see so many Christians come to Jesus with their burdens, come into His presence, and then leave His presence with the same burdens. And their rest is only temporal because they never made the exchange. Because in this invitation to come to Jesus to find rest, there is an exchange that takes place. Your burdens for His yoke. And it's in the exchange that you find your rest. That is the secret of his invitation. I call it the great exchange. Many Christians come to him and never make that exchange and never find the peace that he promises. You who are heavy laden and weary, exchange your burdens for mine and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul. It's a powerful invitation. The great exchange. Your burdens for mine. Your burdens for my yoke and my burden. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is the exchange that takes place. The yoke is an object of labor. Jesus says, you bring your burdens to me and you exchange it for my yoke. And it is so interesting. I found a picture of a yoke. We don't have my slides. Okay. Do you have my... You can look at the Afrikaans one. Nothing is working. Okay. Who of you do not know what a yoke is? Okay. A yoke is something, it's an object of labor that puts two oxen together to pull something. So when you put two oxen together to pull something, like a cart or a plow, to harness both of them together, you yoke them together. There we go. There's a picture of a yoke. That wooden thing between the two oxen that binds them together to pull the wagon is called a yoke. And Jesus says, come to me, all you are heavy laden. You know, the Afrikaans says, wat oorlaai is. You know, sometimes in life we are overladen. The weight that we carry is too heavy. And we are, soos die Afrikaans sê, uitgeput. We are weary and heavy laden. Because of all the things and the fears and the stresses and the worries and the concerns of this life that we carry, Jesus makes an invitation, says, come to me with all your worry, all your fear, all your concerns, all the burdens that you're carrying that is wearing you down. Come to me and make an exchange for my yoke. Leave your burdens and take up mine. Mine is easy and light, and you will find rest for your souls. So a yoke is an object of labor that Jesus invites us to exchange for our burdens. He's saying, exchange your labor for mine, your burdens for mine, and learn from me, and I will give you rest for your souls. As a matter of fact, you will find rest for your soul. So the question is, what is God's labor? What is his burden that he invites us to exchange for ours? We come to him with our burdens to exchange it for his. So what is his labor? What is his burden? And it's simply this, it's to seek and save the lost. That is the labor of Christ. That is his burden. He says, to us, he makes this invitation, you are heavy laden and weary from this life, come to me and exchange it for my burden, because it's easy and light. So we exchange this. He says, come to me and yoke with me. And then he says something powerful. He says, my yoke, my burden, it's easy and it is light. You know why it's easy and light? I need two volunteers. Two volunteers. A big strong man. Yes, a big strong man. And anyone else? Anyone else? Any volunteer? There we go. Thank you, Billy Bob. Yes. All right. Now you must make. Okay. He is our yoke. What is your name?
Walter.
Walter is Jesus. This is the yoke. Walter, get in under your yoke. Yes. Like the oxen. Jesus says, bring your burdens to me. You are weary and heavy laden. And take up my yoke. You see, I cannot take up Jesus' yoke if I've got anything else on my back. I have to exchange it. And then he says, come and take up my yoke, for it is easy and light. And then he says, come, work with me, follow me. You know what is so powerful about this? You know why it's easy and yoke, easy and light? It's because I'm not carrying it on my own. Jesus is carrying it with me. And you know what? He is much stronger than I am. And that's why it's easy and light. Because I'm not carrying it alone, and the one that I'm carrying this with is far stronger than I am. So his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But to be able to yoke with him, I have to make an exchange. I have to let go of my burden and take up his. Thank you, God. So Jesus makes this invitation and he calls us to come to him, because where he leads, there is life. He says, make an exchange and you will find rest for your souls. Let go of the things that you are worrying about, that you're concerned about, the things that weighs you down, that you are afraid of, the things that concerns you, all the turmoil within you. Let it go and follow me. Bind yourself to me. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds for the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, yoke with me. Make an exchange. All these things that you are carrying, that you are worrying about, that's wearing you down, exchange it for my yoke. Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Tie yourself to me and follow me in what I am doing, and I'll look after you. My yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says, learn from me. And yeah, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left everything and they followed him. Jesus makes this invitation. He says, come to me. Let go of your burdens, your worries, and your concerns, and follow me, and I will change you. As you follow me, I will change you. As you follow me, I will teach you. And you will become something else. Learn from me. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus, you don't have to do anything but follow him. He will change you. You don't even need to change yourself. He will change you. You must just follow him. Tie yourself to Jesus. Yoke with him. And follow him. Follow me and I will change you to become fishers of men. And at once they left their nets. And they followed him. So who do you follow? You know, in this world there is so many voices going around. There are so many philosophies and fashion and culture, and there's so many things that tries to speak to us, that is constantly shouting at us about how to live our lives, how to be fulfilled, what is the way to happiness, what is success. The world is constantly speaking, and so is Jesus. My question this morning is, who are you following? Jesus says, learn from me. So how do you follow Jesus? Well, you follow his word. You follow his example and you follow his voice. That's how you follow Jesus. The world will say 120 things about life and happiness and success, and Jesus would be saying something else. The way to follow Jesus is to follow his word, to follow his example, and to follow his voice. As we read his word, we learn from him. As we spend time in his word, we see his example. And as we do so, we start to hear his voice as he speaks to us, as we follow him. You know what's the most challenging thing about following Jesus is the fact that he always goes 180 degrees from the world. You see, the world goes one way. The world says one thing about life, success, and happiness. And then there's Jesus. Jesus always goes 180 degrees to the other side. The world says one thing and Jesus says the other. You know what's the most challenging thing about that is we stand in the middle and we have to choose who we're going to believe. Who we're going to trust. Are we going to believe and trust in what the world says about happiness and success? Or are we going to believe and trust what God says about happiness and success? What the world says about sexuality and what God says about sexuality. And so we can honor. We're always in the middle. And you know what is so difficult about following Jesus is because it's always in the opposite direction. And you cannot follow Jesus unless you trust him. You will not be able to let go of what the world says and follow Jesus unless you trust him. Unless you have enough faith in him to trust him in what he says. And we stand at this crossroad and we have to decide who we're going to listen to. You know, here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks about, you know it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It says here in Matthew chapter 5, it says, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. You know, Jesus was referring to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth because under the Old Testament, you know what? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth spoke about your right for retaliation. You have the right to retaliate, but it has to be proportionate to the offense. So if somebody slaps you and you lose an eye, you have the right to retaliate and take out an eye. You're not allowed to take a life for an eye. You're allowed to take an eye for an eye. If somebody knocks out a tooth, you have the right to take out a tooth, but you're not allowed to break his arm. You have the right to retaliate, but it has to be proportionate to the offense. But you have a right to retaliate. Jesus says, you know, it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You have the right to retaliate, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. The world says you have the right. You have the human right, the legal right, the moral right. I say to you, if somebody slaps you, even though you have the right to retaliate, turn the other cheek. Oh, Jesus, that's difficult. The world goes this way. Jesus goes this way. He says, you know, if somebody sues you for your jacket, don't just give him the jacket. Give him the shirt too. Don't worry, I'm not going to take it off. The world says, you got to fight this. Jesus, now if somebody sues you for your jacket, give them your shirt too. But Jesus, that's not how the world works. And then Jesus said, if somebody forces you to walk 1 mile, under the law of the Roman Empire, a Roman soldier could force any citizen to carry his load, but no further than 1 mile. That was the maximum distance. You were forced to carry a soldier's load. Jesus said, if somebody forces you to walk 1 mile, do two. He says, but Jesus doesn't, you don't understand. Jesus always goes in a different direction. And then we stand in the middle. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. It's not always easy. Something needs to happen in me. Something needs to die in me to follow Jesus. I need to have enough faith and trust that where he leads, there is life. And Jesus makes this invitation, says, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And you will find life. You will find rest for your souls. I call it the upside down kingdom. Jesus' kingdom never makes sense in this world. But if you have enough faith to follow him, you will find the life that he promises. Jesus said, in Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's the upside down kingdom. For what profit is it to a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The upside down kingdom. And Jesus said something powerful in John chapter 10 verse 10. He says, the thief came not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Come to me. Make the exchange. Let go of the burdens of this world and take up mine and follow me. Learn from me and you will find rest for your soul. You will find the life that I've come. Where Jesus leads, there is life. Life abundantly. Life that overflows, that cannot be contained. But it is not what this world promises. You know what? There are magazines devoted to the heroes of this world. The movie stars, the models, the rich and the famous, and it's full of disasters. You can page through it and it's always one divorce after the other, drug abuse, suicide, all the heroes of this world that have achieved everything that the world says will bring you joy and happiness. It's empty. And Jesus says, come follow me and I will give you rest. I will give you life. I've come to give life and life more abundantly. But it's not found in the world. It's only found in him. So who do you follow? Jesus says, follow me and I will give you life. Follow his word. Follow his example. Follow his voice. In John 10 he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In this world, there is so many voices going around. So many voices that seek to direct our way of life, our acceptance, and our pursuit. But Jesus always seems to go the opposite way. Who are you following? Which voice are you following? Who do you trust? How do you know whose sheep is whose? Well, the one you follow, the one whose voice you follow, is the one you belong to. That's what Jesus said. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice. And they follow me. You know, the shepherds of the old time was not like the shepherds we have today. In the Middle East, yeah, who come from a sheep farm? Okay, there's some of you. It's amazing. I just see sand here, but must come from somewhere else then. But here in the modern world, you know, we chase our sheep. When we take them from point A to point B, we have to chase them. We have sticks and whips and dogs and horses, and we chase our sheep from point A to point B. But in the Old Testament and in the Middle East, you don't chase sheep. You lead them. You don't chase them from behind. You lead them from the front. Because the shepherds lived in the field with the sheep. They were there when the sheep was born. They were catching the little lambs. And as they came out, they gave them a name. And that was their only company. So they spoke to the sheep. They sang to the sheep. They defended the sheep. They lived with the sheep. And the sheep learned the voice of the shepherd. And wherever the shepherd went, they followed the voice. Whenever the shepherd had to move the sheep, all that he did was to stand up and start to sing or speak to the sheep, and he would walk, and the sheep would hear his voice, recognize it, and follow him. Jesus says, my sheep, they know my voice, and they follow me. Whose voice are you following? You know, even today in the modern world, some of the shepherds still lead their sheep this way. He will never force you to follow him. He will simply speak and start to walk in a direction. And it's up to us to follow him. You know, in the old times, you know, if you go to Israel, it is very similar to Namibia. It's a dry place. There's not a lot of water. And there's few wells. And many shepherds with different flocks shared the same well. And many times they would come together at the same time. And you had all these different shepherds with the different flocks coming together to drink from the same water. And the shepherds would all talk about the lions and the bears that they killed. And all the adventure they had. And how many new lambs they caught. And while all the sheep was drinking together. And they didn't have the spray paint with the bee on the bum. And the pink bee. To know whose sheep is who. When it's time for the shepherds to move on, one shepherd would stand up and he start to sing and speak to his sheep, and then he would just walk in a direction. And you know what would happen? The sheep that belongs to the shepherd will hear their shepherd's voice and follow him. The others, they won't follow. How do you know whose sheep belongs to who? Well, who voice you follow is the one you belong to. I've got a clip here of a modern day shepherd that crosses the peak traffic. Yeah, you can play it. He's crossing peak traffic with his flock. Watch the shepherd is not behind the sheep, he's in front of the sheep. And he's taking his flock through peak traffic and he's looking for a gap and the sheep is waiting. And he's in front and he's looking for a gap to go through this peak traffic. There's nobody behind that sheep, it's just the shepherd, and now he sees the gap. Now look what the shepherd does and look at the sheep. He starts to walk, and what does the sheep do? They follow the shepherd. Because they know his voice. Jesus is my sheep. They know my voice. And they follow me. Who are you following? Whose voice are you following? Because the voice you follow will determine to who you belong. Jesus says, come to me. You are weary and heavy laden. And bind myself, yourself to me. Follow me. And I will lead you to where there's rest. He said it so powerfully in John 10 verse 3. He says, the sheep hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. Whose word, example, and voice are you following? So powerful. David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that I follow. I shall not want. Because where he leads, there is life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. You know what? Following Jesus is not always easy. When you yoke with him, you have to let go of everything and tie yourself with him. And where he goes is 180 degrees from the world. And that's not always easy. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because I know wherever he leads, there is life. And on the way there, it's not always easy. And even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I am not afraid. Why? Because you are with me. Why are you with me? Because I've been following you. Sometimes, you know what, we get ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death because of our own decisions or because we're following the world. When you get there, be afraid, be very afraid. But if you were following Jesus and you go through a valley of the shadow of death, don't be afraid. Because he will lead you to the other side where there is a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies, where your head is anointed and your cup runs over. Because wherever God leads, there is life. So David is bold to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus says, come to me. Make an exchange. Take my yoke on you. Tie yourself to me. Learn from me. And you will find rest for your soul. David continues. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I make a mistake, you will correct me. because I'm tied to you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All these burdens, all these accusations, all these fears, all the things that causes you stress, all the things that you've been labeled with, all the people that reject you, all the stress and the turmoil. God says, in the presence of your enemies, I will make a table for you. And then I will anoint you. I will vindicate you in front of them all. And your cup won't be empty. It will overflow. Because you were following me. And then he says something. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know how powerful this is? David saying, the Lord is the shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is the one that I follow. And it doesn't matter where he leads, I am not afraid, because I know where he leads, there is life. And you know what's so powerful? As you follow Jesus, goodness and mercy follows you. So many people pursue after goodness and mercy and only find emptiness. But if you pursue God, you will find it. Isn't that Matthew 6? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that after the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need it. It will be added to you. It's just have enough faith and trust in him to let go of your burdens and fears and worries and concerns and take up his. And follow him. Let him teach you. You don't even need to change. You just need to follow him. He will change. He will teach you. I can only speak for my own life. But as I was following Jesus, as I tied myself to him, as I did what the world said was foolishness. Even one of my mentors came to me one day, you know, I grew up in a family. I'm the firstborn. I inherit the lion's share. I remember when one day after I studied agriculture, me and my father, we were driving in the buggy to the farm. And the farm was like the third kid in the family. He was the favorite. My father wrote in his will that whoever inherits the farm is not allowed to sell it ever. Apparently you can do that to the second or third generation. I didn't even know that. My father loved the farm. I was the eldest son to inherit the farm. And I remember the day we drove in the buggy. After I finished my studying, and my father asked me, my son, so when are you coming to the farm? And I said, Father, I'm not coming to the farm. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go into ministry. I never saw my father so disappointed. 2 years ago, one of my mentors told me, you know what, it was foolishness of me to give away my inheritance. I'm following Jesus. End of last year, my father sold the farm because neither of his sons wanted the farm. They're all in the ministry. End of last year, my father and my mother came to me and said, my son, we sold the farm. We want to build you a house. We're going to buy you land and we're going to build you a house. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why do you worry about where you're going to live and what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear? Your Father knows you need these things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he ends off, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that we know that you love us. That you love us so much, you were willing to give everything. You were willing to give your Son, and Lord, you were willing to humble yourself to become not just one of us, but to become sin for us. You took upon all our sin and our shame, and you faced the wrath of the Father. Because God, you loved us so much that you were willing to give your Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You've come that we may have life and life more abundantly, and you make this invitation to us, your children, that you love so much, who get bogged down by so many burdens that we were not created to carry, that wears us down, that eats in our soul. And you come in this morning, you're making this invitation, saying, all you are weary and heavy laden, come. Come to me. Come to me. Make an exchange. Take my yoke upon you. Tie yourself to me. And you will find rest for your soul. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Father, this morning I want to pray specifically, Lord, while all the eyes are closed, if there are people here that are heavy laden and weary of the burdens that they are carrying, you are speaking to them this morning. You say, come, my son, my daughter, come to me. Make an exchange. And if that is you this morning, and you want to make that exchange, I just want you to respond to God by raising your hand, saying, Father, here I am. I want to make that exchange. Just where you are, just raise your hand. As you raise your hand, you can drop it again. Just, Father, here I am, Lord. These burdens that I'm carrying, these things that I'm worrying about, all the uncertainties and the fears and the stress, and all the things that I need and I do not have, God, I want to exchange that today. And I want to ask you to do something bold. Father, I want to thank you for these hands. Lord, I want to thank you for these hearts that are responding to you today. Responding to this invitation to find rest. An invitation to make an exchange today. I want to give you an opportunity. If you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to do something bold and come forward. And we're going to anoint your head. We're going to make an exchange. So that you can leave this place unburdened from this world and yoked with Jesus. So I want to ask you to quickly come forward. If you've raised your hand, you want to make this exchange today. We're going to seal this in God's presence. So I want to ask you to quickly come forward. And I'm going to pray with you. If you are willing to make this exchange, if you love him enough to seek him in your life and trust him enough to follow him, the way of life that he promises, just want you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. For some, this is a great challenge. But isn't that what Jesus said? If you want to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And that's sometimes the most difficult thing, is just to come to that place where we humble ourselves and we say, God, it's not about what man thinks. It's not about what people think. It's about you, God. So, Father, I'm going to pray for those hearts that need to respond. I'm going to pray, Lord, for a faith that is bold, so that they can receive the life that you promise. Father, I want to thank you for each and every heart, Lord, that is responding to you. Lord, I want to thank you for the journey that you are taking them on. I thank you, God, that today, Lord, you are calling to your sons and your daughters, and you're saying, my son, my daughter, I see the burdens that you are carrying. And my heart yearns for you to be free. Come to me. Make an exchange. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And as you are standing here today and you are bringing your burdens, and as we're going to pray for you, I just want you to bring those burdens, bring those concerns before the Lord. Name them and lay it at his feet, and then say, God, I'm going to leave them here, and I'm going to take up your yoke. I'm going to bind myself to you, and God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to allow you to teach me about this life that you have for me, and I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And know this thing, as you bind yourself to him, God says there is nothing that can separate you from his love. There is nothing that can separate you. Father, I thank that for each and every one of us. As we continue to minister, we've got one last clip for the rest of us. As we can continue to minister, and then you can dismiss for some fellowship. And we can pray.